thoughts of man, a mind thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why, again, you need to cleanse your speech from certain negative things. Now, here's another one. I gave you one last night. Repent of saying, I just can't stand that. You're cursing your legs and your feet. Now, we're going to have repentance and baptism right here. Let's have confession. Yes, we believe in confession. But I just don't take time and go in a little box and let you confess, you know, in private. We're going to confess right out here before everybody. How many of you have ever used the term, ever once in a while, I just can't stand that. I just can't stand it. Repent! And be baptized! Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the wholeness of spirit. The spirit of wholeness. The colored folks think that the Holy Ghost is just something that jerks them. There's nothing wrong with that, but you ought to get more out of the Holy Spirit than a jerk. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wholeness, the spirit of completeness. That includes money, believe it or not. Well, now, what commandment was it? What was I talking about? Deserving. You got to examine your gut. You got to do a gut examination. And see if you really believe that you deserve the good that you desire. And you'll find you're going to be in self-conflict about a lot of things, and you'll just be kicking around, just splashing water. Not swimming, just splashing water. Looking way down the other end where you want to go, and you can't do anything but kick and splash water. Because you're in self-conflict. You have not yet gone down into your gut. Down into your heart. Keep by heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow fountains of the living water of life. Out of that feeling nature, that subjectified truth, that subjectified word of God, down in your belly, so that you don't check with things to find out how you are. Did you hear what I said? That I am. You deserve all of God's goodness for one reason. Not because you are good, not because you are bad, but because you are God's child. Well, Reverend Ike, don't you have to get saved? Yeah, you have to get saved from them old religious ideas. Take God off of hold. And by the way, I think they brought some of my tapes, God's private telephone number, tonight. Because you remember last night I told you that the church and religious people, Christians, they have God on hold. I can remember when NBC some years ago interviewed me in Huntsville, Alabama, at the University of Alabama, where I lectured on positive self-image psychology. Hot singing. And self-motivation. There was a group of people from a local Christian college, I will not call the name, And afterward, they began to ask me questions. And one beautiful, sweet Christian lady got up and said to me, "Oh, Reverend Ike, all those are such wonderful blessings that you talk about and preach about and teach about." But she said, "But Reverend Ike, we are not going to get those things until we get to heaven." She had God on hold. Well, as I wrap up this hour in the next 2 minutes, I want to tell you this, and don't forget it. Are you ready for this bombshell? When you find the heaven within you, then you will find yourself in heaven. Not till then. You'll be just like the saints walking down the road to Emmaus, talking to the resurrected Christ, but did not recognize him. Why? Because the Christ had not been resurrected in them yet. If you walk down the golden streets, it'll still look like Lenox Avenue to you. Repeat after me, when I find the heaven within me, then I will find myself in heaven. But not till then. And I'll tell you something else. You know, there are a number of ways to leave this world. Some people think you have to have disease and sickness to leave it. You don't have to leave it that way. If you get into absolute God self-consciousness, you'll walk right out of the material world straight into heaven. You'll just drop the body and go. The doctors will say you had a heart attack, but you will have had a heaven attack. Let me hear you say, "I'm going with a heaven attack when I go."
I'm going with a heaven attack.
You know, people say to me, you know, in my healing ministry, "Well, Reverend Ike, you got to have something to take you out of this world." I don't need disease to take me out of this world. I've got a better way to go. Now, aren't you glad to know that?
Yes.
See, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But let's get this deserving business straight. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So one way to state the principle and the practice that I'm suggesting to you to have good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money is to agree with God. Do not agree with the theologians. If you do, you're done. Do not agree with the theologians that you are an original sinner. That's not even Bible. I don't see how the fundamentalists have gone for that. I mean, gee, that's just ABC. God made man in his own image and in his own likeness. Anything after that or less than that is not original. Let me lay this one on you too. Do you realize that the devil isn't even an original sinner? And of course, another definition for the devil.
Dominos vobis.
Don't like to give him too many honorary mentions. The reason I make the sign of the cross is because the devil, like Dracula, can't stand the cross. And of course, even that legend tells us something. Dracula can only operate in the dark. What is that dark? The darkness of self-ignorance. Same with the devil. The devil can only operate in the darkness of self-ignorance, where mind does not know I am God and there is none beside me. Now, another thing about Dracula and the devil, which are synonymous. Dracula has no substance or reality in himself. He can only operate on somebody else's blood. The only thing that the devil can get to operate against you with is your own blood. The blood of your thought. The blood of your belief. Oh my God. Once the light of God shines in your self-consciousness, Dracula fades away into his native nothingness, as Emmett Fox says. And when you quit giving the blood of your belief, the blood of your thought to the devil, he fades away into his native nothingness. Now again, as I say, even in the Bible, the devil is not even originally evil. You see, so there's no original evil. The devil is a fallen angel. What does that mean? A thought that has fallen from God. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, says Jesus. Folks thought that was somebody with a pitchfork. No such thing. The devil was a beautiful angel fought. The covering cherub. That's the original truth even of the devil. But you see, the devil shows us what happens to our thoughts when we let them fall from God. Every thought that we let fall from God becomes a devil and a demon to us. Oh, my. They are not an other, but our own downfallen thoughts that stick us with the pitchfork and cast us into hell. Well, Reverend Ike, are you trying to say you don't believe in hell? No, I'm not saying I don't believe in hell, because I've been there and I'm glad I'm out. But I'm a witness, hell ain't under the ground. Hell is right up here, y'all. You see, you don't get to either place by dying. Probably everybody in here at one time or another has caught some hell. Well, by the same token, if you can catch hell, you sure can catch heaven. Come on, get up and on your feet and put your mitts on and say, I'm catching heaven from now on. I got enough of catching hell. See, the reason folks catch hell is because they got their hell mitts on. Catch heaven. Let's say it rather ungrammatically. I ain't no hell catcher.
I ain't no hell catcher.
I'm a heaven catcher.
I'm a heaven catcher.
All right, so settle this business about you deserving all of God's goodness. You do. You deserve all of God's goodness because originally you're made in the image and likeness of God. And you deserve all of God's goodness, and don't have any hang-ups about that. You've got to get way down in your gut level and forgive yourself of everything you thought that you did that caused you not to deserve God's goodness. I can't get into the prodigal son parable at the moment. I got about 8 more commandments to do. But you can get my tape on it from somewhere. I don't think it's here. Called The Sweetest Story Ever Told About You. See, because the prodigal son is that mind which falls into the error of believing that it can separate itself from God. The prodigal son had no problems as long as he remained in the father's house. He had all the money he needed. Everything was his. But then one day he got that screwed up idea in his head that he wanted to separate his economy from the economy of the father. Now here is the root of the lack of money and the lack of anything. I called Bishop Jordan and gave him this affirmation the other day, and I shared it with my church uptown. I am financially one with God. Let's hear it.
I am financially one with God.
That will solve every financial problem. And then I expand it and repeat after me. I am spiritually.
I am spiritually.
Mentally.
Mentally.
Physically.
Physically.
Spiritually.
Spiritually.
And totally.
And totally.
One with God.
One with God.
Now the prodigal son was there in that state of consciousness. You see, a house is a state of consciousness. He was in the father's house. He was one with the father's economy, but got the screwed up idea, Father, give me a portion. Now, some of us, including myself, from time to time, we say, oh, we're going to ask God for a double portion. Wrong. God don't give portions, children. Son, all that I have is yours. Why do you want to just pinch off a little piece? You're wrong. It is the nature of God. You see, holy means whole, complete, total. Holiness is the nature of God, and that has nothing to do. Holiness had nothing to do with not going around with a nappy head and a long dress. Looking bad, feeling bad, and smelling bad. Wholeness, completeness, totality, son, all that I have is yours. But the prodigal son said, give me a portion. In other words, I want to separate my economy from the father's economy. Don't separate your life from the Father's life. Don't separate your being from the Father's being. Don't separate your money from God's money. That's why you ought to pay the tithes and the offering on it. Oh, Lord. You see, because that's the ultimate acknowledgement that you are functioning in the Father's economy. And in the Father's economy, there is no lack. And notice in that tithing scripture, I'm going to hit all of these commandments one way or the other. You see, one of the fourth commandment says, thou shalt give right about money.
Yeah.
And notice Malachi, 8th chapter. I'm going to commit a hermeneutical and homiletical travesty again. But listen, doctors. Listen, you're going to hear something from Malachi that maybe you never heard before. God says that when you give your tithes and your offerings, acknowledging that you're one with God's economy, he said, I will open you. Now, the bishop told us that we are the windows of heaven. See, so he's really saying the same thing. It's just that we're saying the same thing, speaking them in other tongues.
Yeah.
What happens when you give your tithes and your offerings? I will open you. Now, the windows of heaven have never been shut. You've been shut. You shut up your hands on your tithe. You shut up your hands on your offerings. And God is saying, you can't receive what I'm pouring out until I open you. Akanasa. Open, 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 open you. Open you, open you, open you. Let me commit another travesty of hermeneutics, doctors. I will open you, and then I'm not through with you, because when I open you, then I'm going to pour you out. Pour you out as divine love. I will pour you out as compassion. I will open you. But you see, that the problem is not to get God to give you anything. Now, I love to see people's faces when I tell them this. And I'm looking at yours right now. Buckle your seat belts and pin down your wigs. Are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for a miracle? Here we go. You better sit down, buckle your seatbelt, baby. There's going to be some holy turbulence here. Here we go. God has nothing else to give you. Now, we don't use the word impossible referring to God, but I'm going to use it this time. It is impossible for God to give you anything else. Why? Because he has already given you everything. And now, to be just a little bit orthodox in my doctrine for a moment, Let me quote Paul somewhere in Romans, where he says, he that hath given us his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He that withheld not his own son. Now, I've got a different heretical twist on that. Because most of you Christians believe that Jesus was God's only kid and the rest of us are bastards. Excuse me, doctors. But there is only one difference between every man and Jesus. Only one. And again, it is in the area of that word consciousness. What makes Jesus, Jesus? What makes Jesus the Son of God? The fact that Jesus was conscious of his divine oneship, sonship. And I am suggesting the heresy to you that the beloved Son of God is not just an historic personality, but the one relationship of every man to God. I am Jesus. Heresy? Not from the standpoint of Jesus. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the very first word of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught them to pray was to say, what hour? You got to get my tape, God's private telephone number. I deal with that whole Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. When you pray. The first word that comes out of your consciousness. Our. Come on, stretch out your arms in that hole and say, divine sonship. Who wrote you out? The theologians. Man staggers at his divinity. That's the meaning of Paul falling off of the beast. When the light of the Christ shone upon his intellect, it blinded the eyes of the intellect. He couldn't see it. He couldn't stand it. Most people can't stand their own divinity. Most people can't stand divine self-revelation. And I must caution you, because I'm not telling you no, that all of you know that all of you are Almighty God. That is not what I'm saying. That's why I have to quote Paul again. No man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them that preach the gospel, that bring good tidings. Christian people are afraid of their divinity. They back off from it. And I'll tell you one of the subconscious reasons they back off from their divinity. Because they're not yet ready to take the responsibility of living up to it. If I accept the self-revelation that I am Jesus, then I've got to heal like Jesus. I've got to preach like Jesus. Yes, I'll get talked about like Jesus. Yes, I'll get criticized like Jesus. Yes, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were Sadducees. And subconsciously, man does not want the responsibility of his divinity. You accept I am Jesus as self-revelation, then you accept also I am the truth. And you know, another thing that the reason why you don't worry about the lies people tell on you, as long as you know that you're the truth. What? You see, even lies could not have their illusory existence without the truth. You see, because the truth is original.
All right, all right, all right, all right.
Then lie comes along after that and pretends to be the truth. Well, let me move on. I've touched a few of the commandments. I've got a few minutes. Okay, I wandered off from the second one. Let's finish this quickly. The second commandment, thou shalt not speak evil of money. Thou shalt not say that money is hard to get or to hold. Money hath ears and will flee from thee. Well, we've been through that. Let me hear you say, see and feel.
See and feel.
Inside of every mind, there is a seer. Inside of every mind is a prophet. We have seers and prophets here tonight, exoterically. But first of all, they are seers and prophets esoterically. A seer is a mind which can see God into expression. Like the preacher here that is attempting to build this church in Richmond. While on the inside of him, there's a seer that's seeing it already. And that seer has the divine power to see that church complex into expression. The prophet is in every mind. I remember one New Year's I preached from the subject, how to tell your own fortune. You see, because again, there's a fortune teller in every mind. I'll tell you this, you don't have to call the psychics, you can send me the money. Reverend Ike, General Post Office, Box 50, New York, New York. En bien sus las cartas al reverendo Ike Arpetado 50, Nueva York, 1, Nueva York. So now you don't have to run up your phone bill calling the psychics. I'm going to tell you how to tell your own fortune. And beyond that, how to determine your own fortune. Examine your beliefs and your thoughts. Your beliefs, your thoughts, your feelings about yourself. Always prophesy what's going to happen to you. And every prophecy is self-fulfilling if you receive it and believe it. What you see is what you get. All right? So you must be a visualizer. The seer is also a visualizer. One who sees within. I have a tape on visualization. I think it's here. Be sure that you get it. Now let's move quickly to the third commandment. The time is ticking away. The third commandment, repeat it after me. Thou shalt do right about money.
Thou shalt do right about money.
See, now I don't want people, some people misunderstand me altogether. I don't ever teach people to do wrong to get money. Hello. Thou shalt do right about money. That's the third of Reverend Ike's Ten Commandments of money. Think and say and repeat after me. I'm willing to do right about money.
I'm willing to do right about money.
I have no need to do wrong about money.
I have no need to do wrong about money.
Or to do wrong to get money.
Or to do wrong to get money.
Thinking right.
Right.
And doing right,
and doing right
about money,
about money,
draws more and more money unto me. I pay my bills with joy. Some of you are lying. But hear this, this will help you and bring more money into your life. Instead of complaining when it's time to pay your phone bill and your car notes and all those other things, take your bills and just bless them. Not only that, bless all of the people. All of these people trusted you. They trusted you, and I don't know why they did it with a telephone. Right beside your bed, where you could fall asleep talking to Susie. Bless those people for trusting you. Bless them for the services they provide. Even pay your taxes with joy. The the tax man cometh. Even Jesus had to deal with that. And that's when he worked the money miracle. In the income bracket that I'm in, the Internal Revenue Service collects my taxes 4 times a year in advance. Oh, isn't that a wonderful bracket to be in? You see, now you can bellyache about that and it'll work negatively against you. I'm so rich that they collect my taxes 4 times a year in advance. You see, they're even prophesying how much money I'm going to make. Say this with me. Even the IRS prophesies my prosperity.
Even the IRS prophesies my
prosperity. So I rejoice because of that. And I know I've got the victory because I can see some things to laugh about in this over $100 million lawsuit that somebody is trying to collect from me that won't. And the Spirit pointed out to me, says, you've got to see the blessing in this. They are affirming how rich you are. You think they'd be suing you for that if they hadn't snooped around at your stocks and bonds? They are affirming your prosperity. You see, circumstances should be your servant. Someone has said that circumstances defeat the weak, but serve the strong.
All right.
Circumstances defeat the weak, but serve the strong. You can take a blessing out of any kind of circumstance. Tap into the energy of the conflicts in your life and turn them from negative to positive. One of the things you can say is, I can hardly wait to see the big blessing that's coming out of this. The Spirit gave me a meditation the other morning titled, It's All Done But the Shouting, So Start Shouting. And when you start the victory march in advance, that prophesies the victory. Thou shalt do right about money. And another thing that I do about money to be sure that I do right, I have the habit, since the IRS collects my taxes quarterly in advance, I pay my entire tithe on my salary and that of my wife and my son, the bishop, until he got married, I guess he'll have to pay his own now. I pay our tithe in advance, 1 year in advance, on the first Sunday of the year. Why? I want the blessing. Now, that brings up another terrible religious idea that people have. People say, well, you know, when you give and you pay your tithe and all like that, you shouldn't expect nothing in return. That is the biggest lie. What does the Word of God say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There may be some farmers here. You wouldn't admit it now. By the way, you know, I used to be county president of the New Farmers of America. It was not because I was interested in digging in the dirt, it was my popularity and my political inclinations at the time, which I have lost in ministry. keep messing up in Washington, though. I think about running myself. I think it's time for another Ike. I've got a lot to cover in 12 minutes. But you know, the world can be something else. The brother that decided not to run the other day, and I was telling people as I was watching it, I said, you know, if he announces that he's going to run, by the next week, they will have thoroughly brought up a lot of the nastiest charges that you could imagine against him. That's why we are told, be not conformed to this world. Listen, you have to know who you are. And then it won't bother you when the world slings feces at you. Explain that when you get outside. Do right about money, yes. I give my tithes and offerings because I want the blessing. Now let's stand up. We got to do some work on this quickly as I'm getting to closing time here. How many of you, let's have confession and get rid of this sin. How many of you really had that idea in your head that you should give with no thought of return? Come on, confess. Repent! As a mind thinks, so is he. That's why you haven't been getting any return on your tithes. And yes, it is impossible. It is possible to give your tithes and offerings and not getting any return on them. I mean, after all, if you put your dime or quarter, a dollar or 50 cents in a soda machine with nothing in it, your money may be perfectly good, but you put it into something that nothing's happening, then nothing is going to happen. Place your hand in a receptive position and say, I expect a return,
I expect a return
on my tithes and offerings,
on
the good that I do.
Be not deceived.
God is not mocked.
God is not mocked.
Whatsoever mind sows,
whatsoever mind sows,
that shall he also reap.
That shall he also reap.
And I am reaping.
And I am reaping.
Good health.
Good health.
Happiness.
Happiness.
Love.
Love.
Success.
Success.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
And infinite money.
Thank God.
All right, I've got 9 minutes to finish the rest of these. So thou shalt do right about money. And this also includes the fourth commandment, thou shalt give right about money. I want to tell you a little joke I heard the other day, you know, talking about money. Sometimes people try to discount money and say, oh, money ain't everything. One lady said, yeah, people who say that money can't buy happiness just don't know how to shop. Here we go, the fifth commandment. Repeat it after me. Thou shalt not serve money.
Rather,
money shall serve thee.
Money shall serve thee.
And this is what you're to think and say. I am not the servant of money.
I am not the servant of money.
Money is my loving, obedient servant.
Money is my loving, obedient servant.
And you know, if you don't want to be poor, someone has given this advice. Watch the poor people, see what they do, and then don't do it. And I'll guarantee you that the poor people, they won't go to seminars. They won't buy books. They won't listen to tapes. Oh, what good is that going to do? None if you don't do it. Now, here's one that I love. The sixth of the Ten Commandments of Money by Reverend Ike. Repeat it after me. Thou shalt be aware, that money loves thee. Money loves to fill thy hands and pockets. Come on, put your hands in all your pockets. Money loves to fill my hands and pockets. Stand up and let's do it. Come on. Money loves to fill my hands and pockets.
The more money flows into my life.
I love money in its right place.
I love the good that I can do with money.
Sit down quickly. I got about 5 minutes and I got to finish the rest of these Reverend Ike's Ten Commandments of Money. Read this seventh commandment of money after me, please. Thou shalt not fear money. That it will corrupt thee.
Only the corruptible can be corrupted.
If thy religion cannot stand money, then thy religion is bad.
Not money.
Rather think and say,
I have no fear of money.
I'm not afraid that money will corrupt me.
Money cannot make me a worse person.
I am a better person because I have money.
Money to meet my needs.
Money to enjoy.
Money to share.
Money is not against my religion.
Money cannot come between me and God.
I can serve God better
with the convenience of money.
I wish I had time to tell you about a lady pastor up in Massachusetts years ago that came to my service, and I preached prosperity to her, and she started believing. As a matter of fact, I made her give an offering that she didn't have. They kept her poor, like the bishop says some churches keep their pastors poor. And so she went home that night, and while she was giving the offering, she said, "Now, Lord," she said, "you know, I never wanted anything because I never wanted anything to come between you and me. You know, I can't understand that. You know, I can serve God better when I've got money to pay my bills and money to meet my needs." But she said, "Now, but Brother Ike said that if I'll just make the sacrifice." She said, "Now, Lord, you know, I always wanted my own house." Well, the next morning, the telephone rang before she got out of bed. The members called, and they called her mother. She was 75 years young. Said, "Mother, they're building a new settlement of houses in the suburbs out here, and the church members have gotten together early this morning and we decided to buy one for you." And they went and took her to pick out the house, and before sundown they had signed the papers. She had the new house. And so I used to go out to see her, and I'd tease her,
And I saw a new Buick Electra 225 at that time sitting under the carport. And I went inside and I teased her. I said, "Mother, is this house coming between you and God?" She said, "No, son, I can serve God better in this house." I said, "Mother, I see a brand new Buick sitting in the driveway out there. Whose car is that?" I said, "Well, son, after you taught me how to prosper and God blessed me with this house so fast, I used your stuff to get this car." I said, "Mother, is that car coming between you and God?" She said, "No, son, I get to my preaching appointments rested and refreshed." Okay, number 8. Thou shalt not deny money. If thou deny money, money will deny thee. Never say, "I don't have any money," even if you don't. If people accuse you of having much money, don't deny it. It's the same principle. If you deny me, I'll deny you. Let's stand. We got to close this out now. Same principle. If somebody accuses you of having money, never deny it. And we're going to close this out now with you telling each other, "I am shouting happy to see you looking so good and prosperous." Go ahead.
I am shouting happy to see you looking so good and prosperous.
And the 10th commandment of money, thou shalt see to it that thy money makes money, no matter how much. Hear you shout.